So how many of us mean it today? It's resolutions and all kinds of things at the end of the year. I think there's only one that's consistent, and that's weight loss. I don't know. Amen, anybody. That's right. I couldn't tell you what last year's resolutions were, but this year it's weight loss, right? So it's Vision Sunday, and essentially that just means that I want to talk about our house, our church, our home. A lot of us are regulars. I know we have some guests today. We usually stop down a couple times a year and just kind of review our ministry. I want to share with you today what we're going to do next year. We've made this change today, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see some more changes coming. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that they may run who reads it. So we want to try to clear things up, and you know, if you're going to follow Jesus, amen, every church in the world should be putting Jesus first, like the video was talking about. And the way we do that is the church is the vehicle that pushes you towards Jesus, yeah. Right? And it's not about a pastor, it's not about music, and it's not about a bishop or rules and doctrine. The churches should be about Jesus and having a vision to push people towards Jesus is what we're all about. We empower people to know their gifts and find their calling. All of us have gifts, all of us have a calling, and all of us have something God's put in your heart, each one of you, to do. And the problem for me for years was I never felt like, God, you don't know what I've done. I'm like, I told that to my pastor one day, and he just laughed at me. He's like, are you kidding me? God knows everything. He knows more than you know, believe it or not. And he knows the beginning from the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the top, the bottom, the inside, the outside, the inner parts of your heart that you've hidden away for so long that have that hurt in it. God knows about that. But here's the problem, it's us trying to release those things to God and get free of it. So the church is here to help us grow in Jesus. Not only are we going to empower people who know the Lord, we're going to bring a living Jesus to a deceived world. You know, it's great to have a church for church people. I believe that our church needs to grow. And if you're not growing, I said last week, if you're only source of the Word of God is Sunday mornings, you're in trouble. And that's just the way it is, because you're not going to be able to live the life. You know, the enemy is real, and he's real serious about keeping you so occupied with everything else going on in your life that you're going to just give up. You're going to forget. You're going to lose it, right? So we're not only a church for church people. We want to bring a living Jesus to a deceived world. Because everybody, needs Jesus. And I was that guy who had the great job, had all the money, had all the cars, the vehicles, the houses, everything. And everybody would tell me, oh, you need Jesus. You need Jesus, brother. I'm like, I don't need nothing. I am well-defined and set up. I don't need nothing. Well, how many of you know that those worldly items can be like a rug being yanked out from under you just like that? I still can't snap. 2018 resolution, learn how to snap your fingers. Amen? So we want to empower people to know their gifts and find their calling. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a list, right? And there's multiple lists. Romans chapter 12 has a list. And we're going to see in a minute, in Ephesians chapter 4 has a list. And each one of these gifts are given by different people. The list in Ephesians chapter 4 are gifts given by Jesus. Each one of us are in these categories, okay? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Well, the church is the vehicle to help you not be ignorant. Don't you want to know what's going on in the spiritual world as well as the physical world? The church is here to help you with that. That's why we teach in series. We just don't pick a verse and talk about it, odd number, every different week. We want to put you in a groove to where you understand everything about God or as much as you can handle. So we don't want to be ignorant. Verse 2 says, You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols wherever you were led. Therefore, I make it known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Everything we do as people, if we're going to speak under the Spirit of God, is going to point to Jesus. Okay? And if anybody's trying to tell you different and point to other things, I would call that accursed. That word accursed means it's an animal to be slain, a sacrifice devoted to destruction. That's kind of a big deal, right? So, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Everything that we do as Christians, Spirit-filled Christians, by the way, points to Jesus. Everything Jesus did on the earth, if we read John carefully, pointed to the Father. Everything the Holy Spirit does on the earth points to Jesus. So as you can tell, it's a cycle. Everything points to the Lord. Everything we do, every song we sing as a church, if we're going to guide people to the throne of grace, which Paul, by the way, the Apostle Paul, said, if we're going to come to the Lord, we come boldly to the throne of grace. You have the authority and the ability to come to the throne of grace, okay? Now, verse 4 says, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. This is important because people want to walk in these gifts and claim them, but that's not the case. Because listen, he says, there are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. You can tell where this is going. But the manifestation, the ability to operate in these gifts is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. This tells me these operations, these manifestations, should be happening in a church service. Amen. Okay? Thanks, Tony. To another, faith by verse 9 says, another faith by the same Spirit. How many of you knew faith was a manifestation of the Spirit? Right? You never knew that. And it's okay sometimes to pray for those things. Amen, Pastor. That's good. I never knew that. Faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy. Wouldn't prophecy be a blessing? To another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. At verse 11, listen to what he says here. He says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as capital H, he wills. Not as you will, not as I will, but as he wills. So I'm telling you this because if the church is the vehicle to bring you to the throne of grace, these gifts are going to be operating in a church service, in a small group, or wherever. Then they're going to manifest as he wills. Not as I will, not as Pastor Paul wills or Pastor Michelle wills, as the Holy Spirit wills. Amen. These gifts are manifested. My mouth ain't working today. It will manifest through people, but they're not belonging to people. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that all right? Everybody good with that? So we believe in empowering and developing strong spiritual leaders. Okay? These things, as you as Christ followers are going to be challenged, you should be challenged by each other, amen, including me. Yeah. So when we speak about in series about the gifts being used, you should leave here with your notebook full of scriptures and notes and go home and study this thing through and say, Lord, I want that. I want those gifts to operate through me every time I open my mouth. Because that's growing, right? You will be challenged by the series we speak, by the small groups that we have as a church. That is where you're going to grow, okay? And now in your quiet time, in your own spiritual time, that's where you're going to learn, okay? And you come to be stretched. Some of you, like I said earlier, if you're a traditional church goer, this room is a stretch for you. It's a little uncomfortable. You know, we got tables, we got a couch in here. We'll probably get another couch in here as we kind of expand. But it's growing. It's okay. Yeah. Jesus isn't going to leave the church because we've got tables and chairs and a couch in here, or I'm sitting down, right? We're not nullifying the holiness of God by doing these things, and that's okay. So it could be a challenge. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. These gifts that he's going to talk about in verse 11 are gifts given to specific people by Jesus himself. Okay? Each one of us can operate in one of these gifts. There is no one, I don't care what anybody says, there is no one who operates in all five of these gifts except for one, and he was perfect in every way. His name was Jesus. He was the only one who operated in all five. All of us have a slice of the pie somewhere. So he says, verse 11, he himself, Jesus, two capital H's, gave some, not all, some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. All right, now a perfect church staff will have one of those positions by each person. Like I said, no person has them all, but our church staff, each one of us, whether it's me as the teacher, Michelle as the pastor, you know, Joel is the evangelist, you know, Casey is the prophet. These are all people who are part of our church staff, are operating in these things at all times. Okay? It's important to know that as moving here from California, we could all be qualified as apostles because we were sent here by Jesus himself. Okay, so knowing those things, it's important to know that no matter what Jesus wants to do, we've got that base covered. On a Sunday, on a Wednesday, on a Friday, on any day, right? You can come to learn. You can be ministered to by a pastor. We have evangelists going around the world. We give to different organizations who do that type of work all over the world, Central America, Vietnam, Israel. It's important. Those gifts are important for Jesus to do his work as being the vehicle to bring you closer to God. It's important that those things are in action. Okay? We teach in series, all right? I teach in series, and we'll have each one of our staff members usually will teach a Sunday or everybody does different small groups to bring a different flavor. And I said before, our series are going to challenge you. I'm all great for singing songs and talking about Jesus, but I want to put information in your hand that's going to make you go, whoa, wait a minute. I'm going to have to step into a new realm or into a new level of life to function in this. Because it could be ugly, it could be uncomfortable, it could be difficult. Some of the series we're going to talk about this year, which will stretch you and they will be attractive to unbelievers. Okay, we're going to talk next Sunday. We're going to start a series called Divine Direction. Anybody want to know where their life is going? Yeah. Anybody want a little help from God to know where am I? What am I doing here? You know, so that we're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about baggage, right? These are things that people that aren't Christ followers will go, yeah, I want to know about that. Don't you want to release your past pretty soon? Maybe if somebody laid hands on you and agreed in prayer with you, that's going to stretch you. That's going to have somebody you don't know, maybe knowing a little bit of your business in that dark spot. Don't you want to get rid of the baggage? Anybody, anywhere. That would be a blessing to me. The biggest one that we're probably going to do around Easter that is more exciting to me than anything, it was a revelation I got a number of years ago through Judith Shannon, who was here last year with her husband Dennis. And this series is probably going to be 6 weeks, and it's called Established in the Heart. Established in the Heart. And you know what happens is this. Believers come, they hear the good news, and they get saved. And that's awesome. I'm all for that. But here's what happens is they get left out in the cold. They hear the promises of God, but the promises of God aren't operating in their life because they're not established in their heart. They hear it, they may even believe it, but until those words, until the word of God and the truth of God's word is established in your heart, where you're not double-minded like James talks about, and you're not sideways and trying to control everything and trying to have this put this way and have to sit in rows and do all this stuff until you release that control, it's not established in your heart. Because when it is established in your heart, then everything you see, everything you hear, and everything everybody tells you, and the way your life handles you, and the sickness in your body doesn't matter, because it can't affect you, because there's nothing stronger in your life than your heart. And if you get something in there and it's established in there, that puppy ain't going nowhere. But the problem is getting it established. So we'll talk about that. It'll be 6 weeks. We'll do a healing series, a grace series, of course, because we're a grace ministry. This one's exciting. How many of you want to hear God's voice better? Yeah. This one's called Frequency. Right? You can't listen to the radio. If you want to listen to one specific station, you got to tune it in. How many of you want to tune in? Yeah. Hear God's voice straight up every day and know that you know that you know that, yes, that's God. Yeah. Okay? Frequency. We'll talk about end times. That's real popular these days, called tipping point. Israel's on a tipping point. You know, we always say we want to go there pretty soon because it may not be there very long. So, Israel's on a tipping point. We'll talk about end times. As it is written, the word of God, where'd it come from? What are we doing here? A lot of that's foundational right out of our gathering on Friday nights. And it's okay to go to church other nights than Sunday morning. Amen. Anybody? Yeah. Right? So that's going on. Church is more of a place to go on Sundays. It's a living organism, a community established by Jesus that we build our lives around. It's not just Sunday morning. You know, if you're hearing the word on Sunday morning, that's great. But it's an everyday, and the church is the one to push you towards it. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about Paul's writing this letter to the Ephesians. And he's writing to Timothy, who was the pastor at Ephesus. And he's telling him about what Christ followers look like. And in verse 19, chapter 2, he says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers, and you are no longer foreigners." I really miss my screen in the back. That's such a bummer. Because now I got to read out of the book. He says, "Strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God." The Greek word, their household, is literally family. Literally family. So we could say, as being a part of the family of God, attending a church, this one, or anyone, you know, God doesn't want you to church hop around. You're part of a family. I'm part of our family with my mom, my dad, and my brothers and sisters. It's great, but I don't go to another family and walk in and go, "Hey, I'm here." No, I'm a part of this house, part of this family. You know, I wanted to do that, especially when there was nothing to eat in my family. Go somebody else's house, you know, with the rich people on the other side of town. So the household of God is literally family. And he's talking about, you're not a stranger, you're not a foreigner, you're family. You never go against the family, you know what I mean? It's just, that's who you are. You're a part of the life. And people, when you're part of the family, you do things for each other. You have each other's back. You don't talk about each other. Either that or there's going to be a fight. Maybe on the other side we can put up a boxing ring and just knock some stuff out. We're like, "I heard what you said," right? So your family, let's go on here. He says, "Having been built on," now he's talking about the family. This family is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. This Bridge Church, this ministry, is built on the prophets and apostles of the past, right here, with Jesus being the cornerstone. I said earlier, it's not about a pastor, not about music, not about this or that or where we are or the room we're in. It's about Jesus. He's the cornerstone. If he isn't the cornerstone, there's a red flag. If we're not focused and pointing everybody to Jesus, that's a problem. Okay? Verse 21, he says, "In whom," talking about the cornerstone, Jesus, "the whole building being filled together grows into a holy temple in the Lord." Key word in that verse is grows. It's supposed to be growing. You're supposed to be moving towards the Lord. I say it all the time. If you're not moving towards the Lord, you're backing up and sliding away. We're getting ready. Tomorrow morning, we're starting a fast. January 1st to next Sunday after service. We're going to fast. We're going to fast because we're going to bring our best and our first to God this year. Our first fruits. Yeah, I can tell. Look at the excitement in this room about fasting. I'm super hyped up about it because I want to bring everything I have to Jesus. If I'm going to grow in God, He has to have everything. We're going to take everything in our life. We just came through a season of indulgence and weight gain, right? Hallelujah, right? We ate everything we could see. We drank everything we could find. And here it is coming into a new season. We're going to take everything in our life and shove it aside and say, Lord, I'm focused on You. This week, I am going to start with a refocus, with a redefinition of my life, and that's everything. We're going to Daniel fast. We're going to shove everything aside, and listen to me very carefully. That's hockey too, okay? And if you know me a little bit, hey, everything. Social media, hockey, TV, sports, everything is going to come off the table, and we're going to refocus on Jesus. We're going to back down what we eat. We're going to back down. We're not going to turn the TV on. We're going to not open a computer, but to do what we have to do for work and for church. And we are going to do this week, the first week, just like tithing, your first fruits, your first 10%. This isn't 10%, but it's the first week of our life, and we are going to refocus on Jesus. Why? Because sometimes when things get crazy, you lose the focus a little bit. You could be coming to church every week, preaching every week, and even lose it. Forget, because we got so much going on, so many things pulling on us and all this stuff. But you know what? Here's how this works. We're doing it together. We're doing it together because we're a family. Families do things together. You don't have to. It's not a rule. It's not a regulation. I'm not going to come to your house and take all your food and unplug your TV and do all that stuff unless it's a nice TV that I'm going to take it home. I'm not doing all that. This is between you and God. It's like tithing. Tithing's the same thing. I don't care if you give 10%. God cares if you give 10% because that's the first fruits of the increase. He wants what's His. And it's written in your heart. And it's good to know those things. So we're going to refocus this first year, and we're going to do it together as a family. And verse 22, he says, in whom who you are being built together for the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We're the dwelling place of God right here. It's kind of fun, kind of exciting, and it's not that bad. I mean, church starts at 10 o'clock. It's not 7 o'clock. When we went to Cottonwood in California for a while, they had like 7 services starting on Saturday night, and they would be at all of them, serving. That's a little crazy. We're not asking you to do that. We're just asking you to come and learn something. Be stretched, be challenged. We got coffee and donuts and stuff. It's okay. It's not scary. It's not weird. This may be weird for you if you're a traditional church person. We're doing life together, okay? This church, Bridge Church, we exist to love authentically, accept wholeheartedly everybody. We've had homosexuals in here. We've had everybody coming to church. Why? We accept them. I don't see Jesus turning away anybody. He said, oh, Peter, you can't wear that here. Go on, get out of here. You know, we've had guys come in with no shoes on. We've had guys come in with like 2 pairs of shoes on. We lay hands on them and, you know, that type of thing. I don't care what happens. We're doing life together. I've walked around my house kind of weird. My family accepts me wholeheartedly. They don't push me away. And the last thing we're gonna love authentically. That means, hey, whatever you need, we want to help you. You know, we're gonna accept wholeheartedly. It doesn't matter what you wear, what you've been, what your past looks like, because your past will never define your future, ever. With Jesus, with us, with your family, that's not the way it works, okay? So we're gonna love authentically, accept wholeheartedly, and teach the living Word of God. You will hear the Word of God in this room. Amen, Pastor. So we're doing life together. Doing life together on Sundays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and those are called connect groups, right? We do Friday night at the coffee shop, first and third Fridays. It's a chance to learn. It's a chance to be stretched. You don't have to talk. You don't have to drink coffee. You don't have to have a smoothie. You don't have to do anything. Come and learn the Word of God. We have the if table for the ladies, right? Happens at my house. It's easy. You just show up. They get fed. You get stretched. You get challenged. You get talking. You get to talk to other people. You get to make friends you can lean on, family members, right? We're going to we do the men's breakfast for the fellas. You can come and breathe. It's not hard. Fourth Saturday of the month. I know when it is. That's right over at Village Inn at the district right down the street for all you people who live in Daybreak. Simple thing, just show up. Dominic shares a little about something. 10 minutes, we eat breakfast. It's awesome. Not hard. Nothing's hard unless we make it hard. Praise Jesus. We're going to have a baptism service this summer. We're doing worship nights this year, probably 3 of them. We do those at Pastor Paul's house. Unplug, kind of a just worship God. First one is Good Friday, the Friday before Easter, in March 30th. And it's we're going to share in communion. We're just going to worship God and love Jesus. Now, I would challenge you, too, get a worship life. Because that'll change your whole outlook on things. We're going to I was talking to my pastor the other day, and hopefully we are hoping and praying to have a marriage conference this year. They're both anointed in marriage ministry. Changed our lives just being under them. We're hoping to get that. He's a very busy guy. I mean, he pastors his own church and stuff. He's on about 17 boards. But we're hoping to get him and his wife up here in this environment. Bring your, even if you're a single person, or, you know, bring your family, we'll have childcare, and just, we'll do a Friday night, a Saturday, and a Sunday morning, and they will teach you how to be married, how to be a submissive wife, how to be a leading husband. Because the first thing, here's just a little just sliver, the first thing in a woman's need is security. If she doesn't feel secure, there's going to be an uproar and an overthrow of the throne. I'm telling you right now. And the number one need of a man is honor. And if her wife isn't honoring him, there's going to be an assassination. I'm telling you, this is the whole problem with marriages today. Those two things are not working together. They'll teach you those types of things. So we're probably hoping to do that in the summertime. And just have a good time, you know? It's not stressful. It's free. Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. You're free to do what you want. I want to talk to you for a minute about making a kingdom impact where God has planted us. Ministry should be fun. Yeah. It should be an enjoyment. You should not have to endure the church service. I would hope you would enjoy the church service. You know, if you're comfortable, if you're happy, you know, if you need prayer, I always say, and to close the service every time, asking if you need prayer, put your hand up, somebody will come to you and pray. The body of Christ should never have a need. Just the thought about that. We should meet every need every Sunday. We're going to, we have Sunday Connect for us to make a relationship. We're going to do some outreach this year at the concerts over at Daybreak, just handing out water and making relationships. It's easy. No stress, no pressure. A little bit of fun. You might even laugh, right? I try to tell a joke or two. They usually don't go over well because it's hard. I want to talk to you a little bit, just for a second, and we'll be done, okay? Told you we won't be here long. We have been fundraising for the last year called Heart for the House for our new building. Okay, we're temporary here. We bring our stuff out. The only good thing about bringing our stuff across the gym is I can tell people I go to the gym every week. And I walk right through it and get our stuff and bring it over here, okay? So here's the deal with our new building. As far as we've been fundraising for a year, we got about $9,000. We've spent some of it on the tables and some other things. So in the bank, we have $7,000, okay? I am convinced it's going to take 20 or more to get into our new building. And I was a contractor for 20 years, kind of know how much stuff costs, how long it's going to take. Just getting into the new building is going to probably be $8,000 to $9,000 itself with deposits and whatever, okay? Retrofitting the new place with carpet paint and building and plumbing, you know, that's probably going to be another $20,000, depending on how we negotiate that lease. We've had some conversations with a guy, Matt, comes to our church, who's just happens to be a hockey coach. That's where he's been for the last 3 months. You know, his team plays on Sundays. So he's a commercial real estate guy, and we've had some opportunities and options with him, and we've negotiated some stuff. We have some options, but we're not there yet. We're not going to put the church in a place of jeopardy just to have our own place and not come here and go to the gym every week. Okay, so we're just being patient. The community center has offered up a new lease for us to be here a whole nother year. And that's great. If you live close by, praise God, right? If you don't live close by, praise God anyway, right? It's going to be okay. We need to get ready to have services there. Listen to this praise report. Are you ready? I don't think you're ready. Should I wait? Because it's not ready. I don't think you're ready. Calvary Chapel, which many of us have been to, right? Pastor Terry over there, they're retrofitting their sanctuary, and he sent me an email about a month ago, and he says, we're retrofitting our sanctuary. We're going to replace all our chairs. I said, how many you got? He said, 500. We don't need 500, but we'll take 300. And he said, done. He donated 300 chairs to the Bridge Church for us to have for our new building. And let me explain something to you. I don't know how much you know about that type of stuff, but those chairs are $20 to $50 a piece. Multiply times 300 and tell me how much money we just saved, because Pastor Terry has a giving heart.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. That saved us a ton of money. Even if we store them for a year in a storage facility, we're still saving money.
Yeah.
Amen? So that was a blessing. We had another church call us in October and said, hey, we're closing up shop. We're moving someplace else. We're liquidating everything we have. Don't you want to come and see? We dropped everything and went over there. We purchased sound equipment for our children's area. We purchased microphones and all kinds of other stuff we're going to need at a super discount price because they were liquidating. And then listen to what happened after that. We paid $1,500 for all that stuff. About 2 weeks later, the pastor calls me up and he says, the Lord told me that we should donate that stuff to you. I'm mailing your check back. I was like, Jesus reigns in this place. How great is that? We've got pretty much our whole children's area outfitted. Our main area, of course, we have all this stuff that's temporary, but a permanent solution is different things. So bigger space and all that stuff. So we're looking forward to that. Some of the benefits of having our own building, if you wanted to commit to giving to that fund, you know, we can have a Wednesday night Bible study. Hallelujah. Anybody like that? I learn more at Wednesday nights than on any other day of the week. We can have a youth service for our teenagers.
Amen.
We can have kids events. We can do lock-ins. We can have a vacation Bible school. That's why we're pressing towards, never mind growing, right? And it would be awesome to have our own space, have some offices, do counseling there, and those types of things. It's going to be awesome. I would encourage you, if you're a guest today, and you're looking for a church home, this is a good one. You know, we're a smaller group, but we're powerful. We've learned a lot in the last couple of years. We're going to be 3 years old on February 8th. That's it. We've only been here for 3 years. So all here in the community center. We've had, we chart our growth. We chart our guests. We had 162 first-time guests last year. 162. We have made changes to this space because we notice that we're not really seeing a lot of return on our guests. 162 is a lot of people, okay? So we're kind of tweaking things and changing things. That's okay, right? Everybody's happy. We still got the coffee and the donuts. Don't freak out. Now, we may have to sit in a circle and sing Kumbaya, but we'll have coffee and donuts. Let me tell you what. Okay? We had over 80 people give their life to Christ last year. We've prayed with countless people, over 100 after the end of the service. We've given away over 40 Bibles. We gave away Judith Shannon's book, Mind Traps, 25 of them. Did ministry at the prison last year. It's a growing, thriving ministry here. I would encourage you to really pray about if you're looking for a church home. There's nothing more important than you people, right? We serve you as the staff, and we want to challenge you, and we want to bring you up. We want you to grow, okay? Again, empowering and developing strong spiritual leaders. At the same time, bringing a living Jesus to a deceived world. Can you get on board with that? Yeah. I mean, next year is going to be amazing. I expect huge things. I mean, we're really pressing on our building. We're really pressing on doing some outreach, social media, everything. If you've seen our website, it's amazing. It really is. I think a lot of our first-time guests came because of our website. Casey does a great job. There's a few things we can do better. There's a few things that we could do worse. But I'm telling you what, we're growing. We're thriving. Church is nothing without the people, and we can't do it without you. There are no perfect churches, except for maybe one in 2 Chronicles chapter 13. They have built a temple for the Lord. In verse 13, it says, indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers, catch this, were as one to make the sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. When they were in one accord. Remember in the book of Acts when they said they were in the upper room all in one accord. When the family is in one accord, watch what happens. He says they were praising and thanking the Lord. When they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. We could almost say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We could sing that verse over and over and chime in with the angels in heaven. How awesome would that be? Look what happens here. He says, and the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because the cloud for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. It's not about a person. It's not about a church. It's not about a huge attendance. It's about the glory of God filling this house, Jesus being exalted. Everything we do is going to point to Jesus this year. Then Solomon spoke. He said, the Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell forever. We're past that point. We are having the Lord fill this house with his glory this next year. I encourage you, just stretch a little. Be uncomfortable. It's okay. Fast this next week with us. Join with us. Get on our team. Grow a little bit. Expand your thinking a little bit. Open your mind a little bit. Because the church is nothing without the people. And we're going to exalt Jesus. We're going to march forward. We're going to take this valley. Big things are going to happen in the next year with this ministry. And I want to encourage all of you to join in. Let's stand and pray this morning. Bow your heads, close your eyes. I just want you to know you're loved here. Whether you've been here from launch day 3 years ago or it's your first time here, just know that Michelle and I love you. We care about you. We want to help you grow and expand. And we want you to be prosperous and thriving in this next year. We want you to know that Jesus is here and he's with you. Put your hand on your heart right here. Lift one hand towards heaven. And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you're in our midst. You're in our presence. Father, that you've given us a vision for next year to grow and expand this ministry. And Father, you've given us a vision to grow and expand your voice in this valley. We exalt you, we worship you today, and we just sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We love you, Lord. Father, as we prepare to fast and clear our plate, refocus and recalibrate on you this week, God, we pray, Lord, that you speak to each person in this room. You speak your voice into their spirit, Lord, and that change comes. That eyes are open, that hearts are busted open. The deepest corners of their heart, Lord, are revealed. And they are set free in the name of Jesus. Because where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. I thank you, Father, for each person in this room. I lift them up to you, God, and I lay them on the altar of God, where the blood of Jesus is. And I pray that they are cleansed. Their past can't define them. We leave things in this room today that are dead and dying, and we move forward towards the goal of victory in Jesus. And we thank you for it, Lord. We bless you today. Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed in this place. If you have a prayer concern today, if you want somebody to come and pray with you and agree with you, anything, a new year, a resolution, a job, finances, children, just lift your hand up high so we can see it. Anybody, anywhere. Anybody, anywhere. We thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Let's just enjoy the Spirit of the Lord in this place while they're praying with these people. Anybody, anywhere, just don't be shy. It's okay. Jesus reigns in this place. And it's a safe place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Worship you today. We lay our lives at your feet, God. Move through us. Give us a message for the faithful, Lord. Put people in our path. Need to hear your voice. Worship you, God. Excited about next year, Lord. The growth, the expansion that you're going to do in these your people. We worship you, God. In Jesus' name. You can look up here. Listen, Happy New Year, everybody. Be safe out there. Be careful. I want to encourage you, fill out a Connect card. Let us know how it feels in here today. If you're a first-time guest, grab some stuff, come back. We just want to visit with you, get to know you, shake your hand. It's been a good day, man. We had a good time today. I just want to encourage you, do not stay where you are. Grow and expand. Go get your life. Jesus is going to move on your behalf and open doors, open the windows of heaven for a blessing in your life. In Jesus' name. Happy New Year, everybody. God bless you. And there's one other quick thing.